Please be seated. Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday, which may or may not excite you at all, but regardless, the Super Bowl is the most watched television event of the year. And it's kind of funny because we all know that most of us who watch the Super Bowl could care less who wins. But it's a national phenomenon, almost like a national holiday. And while the games, especially the last few years, have been pretty entertaining and exciting, we all know that a lot of us make this such an event as an excuse for a party with our friends, but also to watch the commercials. Now, one of my favorite Super Bowl commercials came probably about 5 or 6 years ago. It was a Duracell commercial featuring Derek Coleman of the Seattle Seahawks. At a young age, Coleman lost his hearing, and in just over a minute, the commercial told his story. It was a story about, because of his disability, being bullied as a child. He was always picked last for the sports teams. He was harassed by coaches for not listening. He was deaf. And eventually, he was not drafted by the NFL. And then Coleman's voice comes on the commercial. Everyone told me to quit. They told me it was over. But I'd been deaf since I was 3, so I didn't listen. And the last scene shows Coleman entering the Super Bowl stadium and him saying, "And now I'm here with lots of fans cheering me on, and I can hear them all." Now, that's a great commercial. It's a great commercial because it creates this sense of possibility and potential and empowerment and freedom. Derek is a story of living into the person he felt he was meant to be, against all the odds. And in a way, those kind of stories inspire us as well. They inspire us because we hope it can be our story too. And as much as I love that commercial, I'd like to think that we might get that feeling of possibility and empowerment in places other than just a Duracell commercial. Perhaps even from a gospel text like today's that seems so foreign to our own experience. Now last week, if you were here, we watched as Jesus' first action in Mark's gospel was to cast out an unclean spirit, whatever that is. And it was, in many ways, a proclamation of God's commitment to stand against whatever powers keep us from the abundant life that he desires for us. And this week, though, we see more of the same. This week, it's almost like an assembly line of those in need of healing. And I can't help but picture some of those old Sunday morning televangelists with ushers standing at the ready to catch those who are slain by the Spirit, or waiting for someone to mouth the word baby. But of course, our story begins with Peter's mother-in-law, who is freed from her illness so she can get up and make lunch. But today's text also includes all kinds of people as Jesus heals and cares and restores them, setting them free from the illness and possession to be the person God created them to be. And there are so many people in need that eventually Jesus needs a break. And he gets away from the crowd for a time of silence and prayer. But then he gets his second wind and he tells his friends, it's time to move on. Now, it's a wonderful story, I guess. And it's not just the message of the first chapter of Mark. It's the message of the entirety of the Gospels. God wants to set us free, all of us, from whatever holds us back, so that we might live into our God-given identity and potential, claiming our calling as children of God and join God in a mission to love and bless a broken world. I get all that. But where I struggle is when I picture the next person in line when Jesus decides to take a break. Because that's where I think you and I can most often find ourselves. You're in line. You can see that person just a few spots ahead of you, able to hear for the very first time. And then the next person who could literally see the beauty of God's creation, the sky, the trees, their loved ones for the very first time in their life. And then the person just in front of you is carried to Jesus' feet, and before you know it, he is standing and walking away with those who carried him, full of joy and ready to begin life anew. And then it's your turn. And Jesus says, I'm tired. I need a break. And you stand there with your mouth agape, wondering if he will ever return. I've been there. All of us have been in that place in line where we see miracles happening all around us, but when it's our turn, Jesus seems to be on break. And that's not fair. And I can't explain it or understand it. But it's that place in line where I have to remind myself what healing really means. See, the Jewish understanding of healing in Jesus' time was much more encompassing than our modern day understanding. Healing was about freedom, yes, from the things that limit us and constrain us, like sickness and disease. But it was more than that. Healing was about wholeness, about community, about reconciling with those you love. And the healing miracles of Jesus are about freeing us from things, but also it's about freeing us for things, for lives of meaning and purpose. I can't reconcile. I can't explain why some of us sometimes seem to find ourselves next in line and Jesus seems absent. It really isn't fair. But here's what I do know. Derek Coleman is still deaf. He defied the odds. He became the person he was meant to be. And here's something else I know. The miracles of Jesus aren't just stories about magic. They are stories of human community, being healed from the brokenness that sickness and disease and mental illness can bring. And there is great healing power in that. It's the power of being in community with one another in the face of our weakness, our fragility, our brokenness. And that power is proclaimed by each one of us when, if our lame limp, we slow down to walk together. If our deaf sign, we sign back. And when our oppressed seek help, we offer a hand to lift them up. And when one of us is next in line, when Jesus takes a break, we let them know that they're not alone. And somehow we can come to find peace in knowing that a man on a cross is our greatest companion when it comes to unanswered prayers. For me, that's what healing and wholeness are all about. When we're freed not only from things, but we're freed for things. For where God might call us, as Frederick Buechner says, where our deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. For lives, a possibility and potential and empowerment. I am still not sure how all that works. But when I meet Jesus, it's the first thing I'm going to ask him. God love you. Amen.